I can answer what's in the Queen's purse. She usually has a couple of extra pairs of gloves in her purse.
Yeah, but no money, none of that.
No, no, that she just doesn't ever need money, even though she has plenty of it.
Yeah, monarchs don't monarchs don't
Does
carry
she change
money.
Her gloves frequently?
I don't know if she changes them or if she's just worried that she might lose a pair. Or it might get dirty from shaking hands.
She does do that. She is a formal woman.
Yes, she is.
Yeah. All right. So so this trip really has launched Barack Obama as an international figure. Not that he wasn't already, but, you know, even more solidified now. And there are plans ahead for the president to travel to China and to Russia to work on a variety of agreements. What do you think of his trip so far?
Well, I think that, as you both mentioned, he certainly has been received as, I hate to use the term, it doesn't seem dignified, but as a rock star on the continent. I don't think that's a surprise given the way he was received last summer when he visited as a candidate, but I think there were a couple of publications in Europe who were referring to the First Lady as Mighty Michelle. In deference to her popularity there. So overall, the image is a very positive one for the United States. But what it doesn't address is whether or not he's going to be able to work out an agreement with the presidents of France and Germany, who are not as in favor of his stimulus plan and stimulating their own economies as he would like. And that's an issue we're going to see maybe come much more to the forefront by the end of this day when we see the final communique out of the summit there in London and the language. French President Sarkozy had threatened to walk out if there were not stronger language calling for financial controls in this document. So we're all eagerly awaiting to see exactly what that language looks like, and will it be something that the French president and the German president, Angela Merkel, will agree to. Then there is the NATO summit taking place in France and Germany tomorrow. That will be very interesting to watch. But I think what I'm most fascinated by is the latter part of the trip. The president will go to the Czech Republic, where he's expected to deliver an address on weapons proliferation, and then he'll wrap up his trip in Turkey, and that's likely to spawn a lot of talk about Iraq and Afghanistan and the U.S.-Turkish relationship. And I think there are plenty of places in the back half of the trip for potential diplomatic landmines, and it's going to be very interesting to watch and see what happens there. That's what I'm most excited about watching. Even though I know the G20 summit and the NATO summit, which also celebrates the 60th anniversary of NATO, that's very important. And the G20, of course, dealing with the economy, extremely important. But I think the more interesting part for me will be the diplomacy on the back end.
But there is a little bit of tie-in between that back-end diplomacy and NATO, because we're not getting a whole lot of uptake in cooperating with us in Afghanistan from NATO allies.
That's very true. That's very, very true. And the part about the Czech Republic that I'm most fascinated, there's some internal politics there. You know, their prime minister, Miroslav Topolánek, had to resign because his government lost a no-confidence vote. And this is at the same time he holds the rotating presidency of the EU. And speaking of NATO, the Czech Republic is essentially a new NATO member. And this is where the point of contention came up with the Russians, because you'll recall, the Bush administration wanted to put the missile defense part of it in the Czech Republic, part of it in Poland. And that's something that very much upset the Russians. And it's an issue that President Medvedev and President Obama did not talk about yesterday in their very highly publicized meeting, where they agreed to meet later in the year, and they've agreed to talk about the reduction of the nuclear stockpiles of both countries. And I think there raises the potential of a lot of questions about missile defense when the president is in the Czech Republic.
Yeah, and I think that that's exactly what's going to happen. They want to meet and talk about the things that they agree on first, and give the new president of the United States sort of the opportunity to settle in and get used to this kind of negotiation, and then they'll put the hammer down.
Right.
And when he goes to Russia, which apparently is a plan in the future, I think there'll be a lot more discussions about this missile defense system and whether or not it will go forward as planned.
Absolutely. And I think those are the more difficult issues to talk about, even the issue of Afghanistan as it concerns Russia and its sphere of influence in Central Asia. Those are the really difficult questions, and I think we could get a taste of what's to come when the president is in the Czech Republic. I am assuming that there will be news conferences, and the journalists in the Czech Republic will have an opportunity to ask, and of course the traveling White House press corps will have an opportunity to ask. The other issue I'm fascinated by when the president goes to Turkey is the Armenian question, and there is a bill in Congress introduced last month by Congressman Adam Schiff of California, essentially that would call the Armenian issue a genocide. And if you'll recall back when President Obama was candidate Obama, he basically vowed to back such a resolution if he were elected. There is a report that came out this week from the CSIS, the Center for Strategic and International Studies, saying, Mr. President, lobby against this bill, because if you lobby for it, it's going to create a potentially brittle breach with U.S.-Turkish relations. And I don't think there's any way the president can be in Turkey talking about Iraq and Afghanistan where he won't be asked the Armenian question.
Yeah, this came up during the Iraq war because we need Turkey for logistics purposes, for military operations.
The entire air base is there. And even though the Iraq war may be in some cases winding down and troops coming home, the U.S. certainly needs to use the base there to make that happen.
Well, it's going to be interesting because the new president has to deal with a lot of the decisions made by the old president, and he's been pretty careful about, you know, really trashing the Bush administration. He does make a few comments here and there, but, you know, clearly there is a new sheriff in town, and so heading off into a new direction, he'll get a little latitude in that area. So what's the focus of the discussion in Turkey? What do you think the primary purpose of the visit is?
The primary purpose of the visit, I believe, is to talk about Iraq and Afghanistan and engage Turkey, trying to get it to help in any way it can in that. I believe while he's there, he is supposed to talk in a roundtable situation, take questions from some students. There's the UN Alliance of Civilizations Conference that will be going on there at the time in Istanbul when he visits there. So I think that's the focus. Although we did hear White House Press Secretary Robert Gibbs say last week that the visit to Turkey is not the promised visit to a Muslim nation with a major address to the Muslim world within the first 100 days. Turkey is not that trip. So it'll be interesting to see where the president decides to go before his 100 days are up.
And just a final question, is there any significance to the president having given the Queen a gift that's made in China?
Well, I have to wrap our knuckles in terms of the media coverage of that because we didn't quite get the whole story. The engraved iPod that the president gave to the Queen was accompanied by a rare coffee table book of songs by composers Richard Rodgers and Lawrence Hart. Now, Richard Rodgers, he is the Rodgers half of Rodgers and Hammerstein. Mm-hmm. Of the King and I fame, South Pacific and Oklahoma. And it turns out the Queen is quite fond of Broadway show tunes. And that's something that we didn't hear a lot about yesterday. And this iPod, in addition to having the pictures from her visit here for the 400th anniversary of Jamestown, has songs from Oklahoma.
The corn is as high as an elephant's eye. All right.
Well,
it seems to me like it was a pretty well thought out gift, but we in the media focused on the technology and potential gaffe because the Queen already has an iPod. And it's kind of hard to imagine that she sits around listening to an iPod, but I guess maybe she does.
They're hard to operate with gloves.
Do iPods carry pictures? I wasn't aware they.
Oh, sure.
Oh, yeah,
so you just download it to whatever computer
pictures,
you want. Pictures,
videos.
You can't watch it on the little iPod.
Sure, you can.
You
people
can watch
do.
It
you
the
see
little...
people watching them, yeah.
I think Her Majesty can do pretty much whatever she likes.
That's true. And carry a purse if she wants to. Do we know why Michelle Obama doesn't carry a purse?
I didn't even notice she didn't have a purse.
That's our next assignment, Beverly. We've got to figure out how she can get away with not carrying a purse.
That's a very good question because I feel lost without mine. I don't know what I would do if I were separated from it.
I manage.
Thanks so much for joining us today. Yeah, but you have a big old backpack, Tom Temin, so don't think he doesn't have any junk to carry around.